It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I am super excited today because today we have a very special guest, Dr. Kelly Hsu, and she specializes in helping single, successful women overcome sexual shame and discovering their happily ever after. And today we're talking about It's Never Too Late to reclaim your power after an STD diagnosis. Because I know, ladies, that can be really devastating to get back out there and date after you've been diagnosed with an STD. But Kelly is here to fully empower you and really take back, you know, your power and finding love again, because it is possible. So welcome, Kelly. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So Kelly, so share with us how you became a specialist in this field and helping women overcome this and find their happily ever after.
Yeah. So my story started in my early 20s. I had just graduated from CU here in Boulder with a degree in psychology, and a dream in my heart of going and backpacking Europe. And so I went to Europe for what was supposed to be a 6-week vacation with my sister. And on that trip, my sister got a phone call that she had the opportunity to do a chorus line. She's in musical theater in Hawaii. So she took that opportunity and she came home early. And there I was, little sister in Europe with big dreams and big hopes of like really seeing the world. And so what started out as a Western European trip, all of a sudden I was globetrotting and met amazing people along the way. I found myself in the high country of Nepal right around Christmas time. And it was, we had tons of snow. I had met a couple men that were trekking with me high in the mountains. And so we had been trekking for probably about a week together every day, hiking for like 10 hours a day. And on Christmas Eve, I was lonely for my family and missing home. And we had gone to a Christmas party. I had had a little bit too much Tungba, which is their local beer. And I went back to kind of their version of a hostel with this man who I had a crush on. And, you know, one thing moved into another, and before I knew it, we were making out and it was fun. And then quite honestly, there was that line that was crossed, and I look back and I thank God I wasn't raped. And I say that because I know so many women find themselves in that position where a line is crossed and they're saying no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully that partner pulls back. And I was grateful that this person did. And unfortunately though, the next morning, I woke up and I had symptoms, and it hurt to urinate and it hurt to walk, and I felt flu-like symptoms, and I knew something was really wrong. And he had had a cold sore on his mouth. And so fast forward, trekking out in this high country, making it to Kathmandu, going to a clinic, and I'll never forget the day, Dr. Pandey, and she had this like stark white collared, you know, jacket, the lab jacket. And in her Nepali voice, which I won't try to replicate, you know, Dr. Pandey told me that it was in fact genital herpes. And my life came crashing down in that moment. You know, it's like your worst nightmare. And so I know women are listening and they've received that diagnosis or something similar of this shaming. And, you know, I can remember going back to where I was staying and crawling up in a ball, like, and shaking like fetal position, thinking my life is over. Right. Wow. And I know some women are actually suicidal over this diagnosis. And I cried my eyes out alone for days on end, made it into New Year's Eve. And, you know, I didn't think I'd ever be able to be a mama. I was 23 years old. I didn't think I'd be able to bear children naturally. I thought that I was dirty and disgusting and that no one would ever love me. And here's a kid coming out of school where it's like, you can live the dream. You can have anything you want, you know? And I had always been the good kid and I didn't sleep around and I hadn't even slept with this guy. And here I was, like, everything came crashing. So that was my starting point.
Oh, that must have been so, you were so young too. And it's like to be away from home and find that out. How did you get support right after that? Cause you were in a foreign country.
I was in a foreign country and, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then. And so literally like the phone call I made back home was to my mom, and I have a very close relationship with her. And I told her what was happening. And I tell ladies that I work with, you know, having a safe place to share. So whether it's a mother, a best friend, somebody, a community, I believe that that's the first step. Because had I not shared so early on, I would have been carrying that burden on my heart. And I know so many women are listening and they've never told anybody. And it's this deep, dark secret, and we know how common it is. So that was my first step. And it took me many, many years of really feeling like I was less than, you know, and feeling like there was something wrong with me and I felt broken. So here I was, fast forward to a woman coming out of medical school, started my own practice. I was single. So now we're 30 years old. And had tried to date and had attracted the wrong kind of men because my self-esteem in dating just wasn't there. I excelled in other areas, but that was the one area. And I'll never forget a phone call once again to my mother. And I had been dating, you know, I remember one man, I was in a long-term relationship. He was emotionally abusive and manipulative. And I've been down that road of when you don't have that self-esteem and self-confidence, you don't attract good mates and good partners because you don't think you're good enough. And I can remember crying my eyes out, going, Mom, what's the matter with me? You know, do you think it's because I have herpes? Do you think, you know, my expectations are too high? Should I just give up? My cousin I just found out he was getting married and I really felt broken. And she said, no, sweetie, you keep it up. You keep your expectations high. There is nothing wrong with you. And so that was a turning point. That was a turning point. Like, no, I am not broken. And it wasn't that far after that, that I went out and actually bought a ring to marry myself. Cause I'm like, if I don't love me wholeheartedly, how can I bring that love into my life? So I did. And it wasn't long after marrying myself and buying the ring, I met my soulmate and I'm married to him now.
See, I love that and I love that you brought up this ring because not only did you quote unquote marry yourself, right? But I see that as a constant reminder with having that ring on your finger, because as we all know, sometimes you'll have up days and some days you'll have down days. But when you have those down days, you could look down at your hand, see that ring on your finger and say, I made this commitment to myself and I'm not going to let myself down. Right.
Absolutely.
And I love that. So yeah. Can you share, because I know you went through ups and downs before you met your husband.
Lots.
And I know, you know, some of my clients have been diagnosed with herpes and their biggest fear is how do I bring this up to a man that I'm dating and when do I bring it up? So can you share with the ladies how and when to do this?
Yeah. So the first thing I really do recommend is take it slow. You know, I think we live in a culture where people are jumping into bed with one another on a first date. And, you know, I'm not supportive of that, you know, because sure, you can get your sex on, right? And that's great. And in that scenario, I always recommend, you know, disclose. Like if you find yourself and that's your lifestyle, my gosh, sister, like, just make sure that you disclose and you will find most people are okay. They really are okay with that. It's so common. But outside of that, someone who's wanting to go on a date and just have sex and be over with it, like women who are really looking for that long-term partnership, which is what I really specialize in, you know, the timing of it is, first of all, you know, give yourself time to get to know somebody. Make sure that this person is worthy of that part of yourself. Like, I call it the secret garden. Like, you know, I think let's go back to courtship. So that's the first thing. You don't have to disclose on a first date, and I don't recommend it if you're not exposing that potential partner. So timing-wise, it's different for every relationship, but you've reached a part, a point in the relationship where things are moving in that direction and you've established some trust and you're really into this person. It's at that point where you lead with self-love. You lead with the celebration of the partnership. And so it looked like something like this, you know, John, we've been dating for a while and I love the way you make me feel. You know, it's you're a very special person. I love how we laugh. And, you know, acknowledge that person, that partner, for what they bring to the relationship. And John, you know, I feel like we have something special here. And I'd love to see us grow together as a couple. What are you feeling, John? So why do you think I might ask John what he's feeling?
Because you want to make sure you're both on the same page.
Yeah.
Because if he's not on the same page, then you don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah. And what I say is, then he's not talk worthy.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the women that I specialize and work with, they are looking for long-term monogamy. They want to get married. They want to have kids. They're often successful in other areas, but it's this one area. So that's the first step, is get to know these partners. Don't, you know, don't move so fast. So often in that scenario, John will be like, you're freaking awesome, right? And I am really into you. And I really think we have something here. So there you've created a foundation of, he knows where you are, or she knows where you are, and vice versa. So now we have established that we're going to move forward. That's the first step, right? The next step I call the confidentiality step, which is something that goes like this. You know, John, there's been something that's been on my heart, and it's private for me. I don't share this with everyone. Can we keep it between you and I? And John's probably going to be like, yeah. What's up, right? So that's the second step, is really asking for that confidentiality, and it creates that safe, sacred space. So
yeah.
That's the second step.
Okay.
And then the third step is the one women are most challenged by, which is the disclosure step. And I remind women, it's a two-way conversation, and it's an opportunity to share and educate and ask, you know, you could start with, have you ever been tested for STDs? Or, John, have you ever gotten one of those cold sores or dated someone that has? Because what we know is, if someone has a cold sore, they actually have herpes. They carry the herpes virus. Most people don't know that.
Yeah. Differentiate between, I know there's two differentiations. There's herpes simplex 1 and 2.
Yes. Yes.
And I think a lot of people don't know the difference between the two.
Yeah. So they're genetically almost exactly the same. Mm-hmm. For all intended purposes, they're almost exactly the same. But here's how they're different. Mm-hmm. Type 1 can be found in the oral facial area in the mouth. We'll also see it on someone's lip or the corner of their mouth. Mm-hmm. We often see that, like, right around cold season, right? Mm-hmm. That's what people know the most. But that same virus can also be found genitally, okay? So type 1 can be found above the waist and below the waist. And we have antibodies that circulate that can be tested for whether or not you have that strain. Type 2 is just a little bit different, in that 99% of the time, it's just found in the genital area. Same symptoms, same diagnosis. It's just the DNA is just a little bit different. And its preference in the body area is different. So you're rarely, for all, you know, intended purposes, we just say, you know, you're not going to find HSV2 in the mouth area. Is it possible? It's possible, but it's so small. So those are the main differences.
Okay. So when she asks him if he's ever had a coral sore, then where should she take the conversation?
Yeah. So what I love to say is, you know, find out, has he ever had a cold sore, or has he had a partner? Because if he has a partner, we've also known that he or she has already been exposed to the virus. And so there's a good chance that they might already be a carrier. So it's just kind of like, okay, this is a conversation that we need to have. And I am a carrier of this virus. And then she would say specifically what that means for her. So at this point, I'm hoping that she's been tested to know what strain of the virus she has. Mm-hmm. And that helps in this conversation. So if she has the type 1 genitally, which is what I have, and John gets cold sores, then she can't give him genital herpes. She can't give it to him. He already has it, even though if it's in a different site.
Right.
So that's that scenario. So it gets a little complicated, I know, right? Mm-hmm. But it is like, you just want to make sure, like, this is what I tell women is, like, we know our bodies. We're the ones that have periods, and we have, you know, we make babies, and men rely on us to, like, be in control of our bodies. So when you hold it in a space of like, look, this is something I have, we can have a totally normal sex life, the chances of me transmitting it to you are so, so slim. You know, this is no big deal, but I care about you enough to have this conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it possible, because you talked about someone being a carrier, but then is it possible for someone to be a carrier and not have herpes?
No.
Okay.
If you're a carrier, you have herpes. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't tell us whether or not you have symptoms. There are 85% of the population that are carriers of this virus, and they've never been diagnosed because they pretty much don't get symptoms.
Right. And I would love for you to share about that, because I was reading some statistics on that and how a lot of people don't know that they actually have it, and they're just having sex freely, and that's why it spreads so quickly. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where when you go and get an STD test, it may or may not include herpes as part of the test. And so that leads to a lot of people having sex thinking that they aren't a carrier for anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a two-sided coin, because on one hand, so many people have it that doctors and healthcare providers and even the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says, what's the big deal? We don't need to get tested because so many people have it. Why spend the money to get tested? So that's on the one hand, and then that leads to it being spread that much more easily. And on the other hand, you have people going, yeah, if we could just test everyone that goes gets an STD test, then at least we'd know what we're handling, and then stigma would have to drive down because so many people are carriers, right? So it's, yeah, there are a lot of people that have this virus and just don't get symptoms. Like a symptom could be like it might look like a little paper cut in the genitals, like that small that you're just like, ah, right? Or it could look like an ingrown hair. Like it can look like so many other things that you're not thinking it's herpes.
Right.
There are
right.
a lot of undiagnosed people out there.
Yeah. So when she's having this conversation with a man that she's, you know, getting more serious about, and if he says to her during this conversation, you know, I think I can handle this, but how can we protect him from getting herpes? What should she say?
Yeah. So what I always say is, well, let's get you tested first and see if you're not already a carrier. Because you might be in a situation where he's already a carrier, he doesn't know it, and he's not even at risk for contracting it from you because he already has it. So what I tell women, you need to have a baseline. Like, let's figure out. And then you know what you're dealing with. But really, there are long-term monogamous couples that the only rule that they follow is to not have sex when they have symptoms. Mm-hmm. And if that's the only rule that they follow and they don't even use condoms, mm-hmm. The risk of transmission is only 4%, which is quite slim, which means 96% of the time there's going to be no transmission. So there are two ways that we can drive that number even down further. First one is a condom. Mm-hmm. So if a couple decides to use a condom, then we've gone from 4% to 2%, which is significant. And then there are women that choose to use antivirals. And if those antivirals are used daily, then we drive that number down to 1%. So what I say is, if you went to Vegas and I told you you had a 96% chance of winning money, would you take the risk?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't I?
Totally. Now that's language most men really get. They're like, yeah, you put it in perspective. And it's really helpful. But yes, condoms and antivirals are the two things.
Okay, that's a really good point. I love how you brought that up in the 96%. You could win money, right? Well, so I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know this is women's biggest fear. So now let's say the conversation went the opposite way.
Yeah.
She shares that with him and then he's just like, oh, that's way too much for me to handle. How do you suggest she handle that? Because that can be really devastating to a woman that she was vulnerable, she trusted, she opened her heart. So yeah. What would you suggest?
Yeah. So what I would suggest for that is first of all, thank him for listening and thank him for really being in that vulnerable space. And, you know, I would say most people are really good people. And that conversation, I will tell you, with the women that I coach, I can't even tell you the last time. I can't even tell you when that has gone south like that. It just doesn't really, once a woman's been coached and she's confident, she holds the confidence and it's mirrored. But you're right. This happens. And so a couple things to think about. First of all, maybe he wasn't that into you. Right? Because if he's not willing to take that risk, like maybe it's really other things about you. And then that was added of the cherry on top that he's like, I'm out. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's a clear possibility. And that would have worked itself out down the road that has nothing to do with herpes.
Right.
And I know this isn't easy, right? Like if something with that, like that happens, we want to make sure that she spends time to really heal and take really good care of herself and know that it's just not the right person. Like, how would he handle if you had breast cancer? Like, would he be around for that? You know, would he be around for chemo? Would he be around to help with the kids? Like, you know, I believe in divine partnership and I don't believe that there's only one person out there for you. Again, my specialty is women that are looking for that happily ever after. They want to get married. They want long-term or they want long-term partnership and it doesn't have to be marriage. So they're looking for that partner to lean into for the long haul. And my experience is if you get a no, often it's more than just the herpes that they're saying no to.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it might be his own issues and have nothing to do with the woman, right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, there's been a handful of cases, you know, with that where the partner is, how can I say this and be nice? They are very anal as far as like cleanliness. Like they're the type of people that like germaphobes. Right. They're germaphobes. Mm-hmm. Those types of partners, they don't handle this conversation as well. So if you're dating someone like that, know that you are more at risk of like, he might not handle this because he likes everything to be in control. He's also the type of person that is freaking out in cold and flu season.
Right, right. So it might have nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
So now, exactly. Kelly, let me ask you another question, because this is a question I get asked a lot by women. Let's just say that she doesn't have an STD.
Okay.
But yeah. She's ready to have sex with him, but she's afraid. She's like, I don't want to get anything either. So how can she bring up, you know, before I have sex with you, can we both get tested? Because it's an awkward conversation.
It is an awkward conversation. And the way I have women lead with that is how important health is to her, you know? And there are, as women, there are things that a man can carry that we can contract that actually could impact our ability to have babies, right? That and pelvic inflammatory disease and things like that. Hepatitis. Hepatitis is more, easily transmitted, and women don't even think about it. So it's not just herpes, it's these other things. So I lead with, you know what, health is something that's really important to me. And I really care about you too. And if there's anything going on with either of us, let's find out, because many of these things can be taken care of, that there are ways to manage and or cure whatever it is that we're talking about. So I lead with health.
I love that. I love that because it's just saying that, you know, this is important to me. And it's not saying you go get tested. It's saying this is what's important to me. I hope it's important to you too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of couples, they'll make it kind of, I know it sounds crazy, they'll make it a date night. All right, Friday after work, we're going to go get tested. And then we're going out to dinner. And, you know, let's just have fun. Again, let's just take it slow. Let's wait until the results come back. And if the man's in it for the long haul, or the woman, you know, man or woman, or if she's in it for the long haul with you, right? Like, you guys are in it to win it, right?
Exactly. I totally agree. So, yeah. Kelly, what are some other ways? Do you have any last tips on how a woman can reclaim her power after she's been diagnosed?
Yeah. So first and most important thing is to find community, find a sisterhood, right? And so there are communities online. Pink Tent, my company, we have the only website that I know that supports a women's only environment for women who have sexual shame. And that sexual shame might be, I have sexual abuse in my past also, and I had to overcome that, which was another layer. So it's like I had sexual abuse from childhood, and then layer on top of that herpes. And for me, that was where my confidence really dropped out. So I know a lot of women that are listening here, when we look statistically, women have been, you know, sexually abused or date raped or like all of that, it has this kind of collapse, right? So find community. I think the first step is sharing your story. And so Pink Tent does have an online forum where you can be anonymous. And it's a great first step if you're not ready to tell your mom or your best friend. Find a community that can support you. The other thing that I would say is date yourself first. Fall madly in love with you. Take yourself on dates. Go to Victoria's Secret and buy some new panties. Like, do the things that make you feel good. And so that can look like many different things and simple things. It's if you want to be loved and honored and uplifted, you get to honor, uplift, and love yourself. And then the third thing is embrace vulnerability. Falling in love, the happily ever after, it's worth the risk of getting your heart broken. And I would say that to any single woman that's dating, that's out there, that's getting frustrated, right? So those would be the three things that I think are really paramount for the healing journey. And of course, this is my specialty. So there's a lot of other things there, but that's high level, you know, hire a coach. Right? Because a lot of time the community alone is not enough to lean into. So consider hiring a coach that specializes in sexual shame and getting your power back, because there's a lot we can do.
Exactly. I love that you shared that. And then you can find a husband like Kelly's who brings her water during the interview and is so thoughtful.
Right.
I know. So that was amazing. So, Kelly, thank you so much. This has been a wealth of information. I know a lot of women out there are feeling so relieved because they've been hiding this. They've been living in shame and they haven't shared it with anybody. And I love that you just empowered and inspired these women who are feeling that way. So, Kelly, how can the ladies find you?
The easiest way to find me is to go to my website, pink.com, so the color pink and like a tent, And, you know, on that website, you can have a private session with me. I offer irresistible you sessions, which in a half hour, it's complimentary. I can talk to a woman and discover what is her best next step. And so that she can share her story with me. I'm a sacred, safe place. So it's a place to lean into and discover if you are a good fit for coaching and taking that next step. So our community is amazing resources. There are free downloads. There's a wealth of knowledge. So just go to pinktent.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kelly.
And you're so welcome.
And thanks, everybody, for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. The show is available both in video format and audio format, which are both available on yournextamazingstory.com. And if you would like to get our free ebook, How to Create Your Next Amazing Love Story in 3 Simple Steps, you can click right here on the video, or you can go to yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.